may be seated. We move forth in our exposition. Take out your document. Everybody should have it. If you don't, there should be some excerpts on the table in the back. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
For manifestation in time.
Manifestation.
This morning we're going to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As well as we shall focus, if time allows, on base scripture there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 first. Here we're in volume 2, and we welcome those that are joining us by way of the webcast. And again, this document that we have just referred to, scripture distinctions, is you can go on the website to either audio or video section there, and there's an icon that if you will left click it, this document comes up in its entirety, and it helps to follow. Here at the Grace Gospel Church, we put in writing everything we preach and teach from the beginning. This is the directive that God has given us. Amen. And lays out as in recorded documentation, and I understand now, and didn't understand it then, but amen. What we preach is controversial to some, and therefore it's necessary that we have these documentations. Mm-hmm. Amen. And of course, these documentations are replete with scriptures.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything that we say or that we propose as that which is God's word is certainly tied to his word. There's some scripture there. So we're not just versing opinions, and anyone that need to question what we're saying, let's go to the scripture and see whether, amen, this is what God has said. In your document today, let's go to page 7. Here we're dealing with the purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Repeat after me, purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. That is so important. Amen. Guess hadn't given anybody a preview, but we were hitting on this quite a bit this morning, separating actually what is eternal from that which is temporary.
Yeah.
And what we call life is temporary.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Incremental, sequential. Everybody sequential?
Sequential.
Incremental depiction. So in sequences, what we call life, these are sequences and they're in increments. Depictions and, amen, there are trillions of frames, trillions upon trillions of frames in the, exponentially, yeah, trillions to the trillionth power of frames in the matrix and what we call life. Each one of them, amen, there has been placed events.
Mm-hmm.
And the things of our lives are placed there for God's purpose.
Oh,
and the essence of things are in God's decree.
Right.
Actualization is in God's decree. Where? In eternity. And so the only thing that you get in time are these sequential increments of depictions of things that are placed there. Amen. For God's purpose. Nothing just jumps out, jumps off. Everything is designed. And you know what? Even as we go through our trials, that should give us some type of comfort. Amen. God has ordered this thing. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Amen. That's what this exercise is about. As we learn more, we align more. Understand that life is about what God has ordered. And our destiny is His predestination.
That's right.
Our destiny is, they teach in many ministries, your destiny is your goal, your plan. And God is an accommodator to help you reach what you want to do. Amen. It's almost like we think that God doesn't have an agenda. And basically everything is free flow based upon what we do or don't do. Amen. But that's not what the scriptures teach us. All right, let's start out this morning. Elder, no, I guess Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Let's go. Let's begin here. Amen. In that fourth chapter, in verse 17 and 18, I think, amen, if we get through that, we will have accomplished a lot today. Amen. I want to reprise a few things as we have previously conveyed to you. That is God's eternal ordering in the heavenlies, in Christ, exceeds and excels beyond time's debates of human proficiencies, whose appearances and defiance to the more affirmative scripture responses to the oft-heard uninformed inquiries. It's why people don't believe in God, and you know, people ask questions, why, where is God? And each week, each day, I should say, we turn on the news or we go on the internet and we read from the news there and from all of the other mediums of all the things that are happening. And it causes some people to question, you know, if God's got all this power and He's so good, why is He allowing all of these things to happen? Well, we touched on that a little bit last week in expressions of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, that all that is manifested is light. And all manifestations are there, amen, basically to convey to us God's plan and purpose. All things for our sake. And so how can all of these things be for our sake? These testimonies are my God. God uses these things to bring us into a focus as to what life is and isn't. So the light that is there, amen, conveys oppositions. It conveys encounters, many of them that we don't understand and don't like. And God, and so, you know, they of themselves would raise more questions than answers, but the Word of God is there to feed us. And the Scripture said that we have this knowledge. Amen. The Greek word there, we get the word thesaurus from, amen, which gives a litany of terms to bring better clarity to that which we put forth as the main word. And so we have this knowledge. We have this eternal knowledge in earthen vessels. And what does it do? It focuses away from us and on Him, that we know that the power is in God and not in us. And so, amen, it's very beneficial to us. So in everything that is reproved is by light, because everything that is manifested is what? It's light. It's light. It's light. The true essence of it, and this is why we spent so much time, 5 years on volume one and I don't know how long in volume two. Actualization, the actual abides in eternality. And nothing actually abides in time and in the matrix. Amen. Except testimonies. These incremental depictions that are there for God's purpose. Amen. And amen. The focus and the benefit here and now is that it causes us, our minds and our spirits and our hearts, to transcend beyond the things that are around us, knowing that nothing is really there. That the real action is eternity in Him. Everybody say in Him. Now, Brother Deacon, read that from the King James first here for those that may be watching first time. We read from the King James basically because that's the one everyone is familiar with. That's the translation. Amen. Yet we understand that there was that around 1611 or 13 thereabouts, this translation was made from certain documents that were copies. And of course, we take the same material they have, amen, and we utilize the interlinear because at least the preparer of this document has his feet held closer to the fire. Amen. In fact, the Greek word is there, and the English word supposedly is under it, and if he goes off the track, he has to at least give some indication that, hey, I'm going off record here. Amen. But then we don't stop there. Through exegesis, we get the intended conveyance before we seek to explicate, so that we know that we are explaining the correct thing. Mm-hmm. All right. In that fourth chapter there, Paul conveys many things. Amen. Start out in the beginning of it, he speaks about having this ministry and the contents of this ministry causes one to renounce those things that aren't. As we realize what is, it helps us to know what isn't. And so basically, also in verse 5, he said, now this message is not about us. He said, we don't preach about ourselves. And anybody that stands up here and start, and my subject is this, and the focus is away from Christ, amen, it's a waste of time. Amen. In verse 6, he speaks about God who commanded His light to shine out of darkness, and He has placed it in our hearts. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that actually matches what we are in the face of Christ Jesus. And in verse 7, we have this knowledge. We have this thesaurus in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And as he goes down, so now, what's the use of this? In verse 8 and 9, he gives a litany of things that we can be confronted with, but yet not overcome by. Troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Yet there's a testimony there. We're always bearing about in the body the suffering and the dying of the Lord, of that He, amen, conquered these things and has caused us through this thesaurus of knowledge, amen, to be overcomers of each and every one of these things through knowledge, amen. So here in verse 15, it speaks that all of this is for our benefit. Do you know that everything that's happening in your life is for your benefit?
Hallelujah.
I know that's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. You say, how in the world can this be working for me? Amen. And of course, I go down the same path daily, and the Word of God has to come and rescue me and let me know, hey man, get out of physicality. Amen. And focus on eternality. Focus on the essence of what God has already accomplished for you in the heavens in Christ. Because our outward, that is our flesh and physicality, is failing each day. But that's not what action ever was. That's what a testimony was. Amen. In order to bring us to comprehension of focusing on the essence of what life really is.
Really?
Life is Christ. Everybody say life is Christ.
Life is Christ.
And then when we have this understanding, we understand that inwardly we are renewed day by day as we receive this message. Why do we come and congregate together? Primarily to receive these communications. Amen. Now, what benefit is that? Verse 17 and 18. Start reading. Everybody got 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Amen. Everybody got 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
From the King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Mm-hmm.
While we look not at the things which are seen,
mm-hmm.
but at the things which are not seen.
Mm-hmm.
For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Why don't you see this preached that much in the pulpits? I stand here, and for those, amen, that God will direct you to the ministry, I challenge you to preach this. Even though it doesn't make sense physically, it's here, so, amen, it's truth, it's fact. It's reality. It's the essence of life. Now, I want you just for a second, hold page 7 where you are, but let's go back to our glossary of definitions. I got two or three there I want to convey. On page 4, those of you would be helpful that are watching by way of the webcast, if you can, amen, pull up that document. Let's look at the term probability. Brother Deacon, what is that?
Probability, an event or occurrence that is humanly perceived to likely happen or come into existence.
That's because it is in the boundaries of physicality. Everybody said physicality. Read.
Physicality is state of material, visual cosmos that is worldly.
Material world are those things that we call substance that are really nothing but, amen, derivations of light and manifestations. They're placed there for testimony. But the realness of them has to be tracked to eternality. All right? Reality. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
Reality. Actual existence. true or certain.
Now here, what is real is there. What shows up and disappears is not real. It is a representation for the sake of communication. What is real abides.
Yes. Amen.
And the only arena that actually abides is the venue of eternality, in eternity. That's where things are actualized. That's where they are. Where they are, they remain. Where they are depicted, they are purpose for communication and testimony. And this is by anything that's in the matrix, once it has run its course of God's purpose of communication, it leaves, including us.
That's right.
We were brought in for a purpose and we are taken out after that purpose is fulfilled. And we're not destroyed. It's just that the testimony in the matrix is fulfilled. Someone asked the question, where do we go when we leave here then? Where did you come from? Ephesians conveys the heaviness in Christ where he placed us as sons and positioned us as his beloved before time and what we call physical creation. So, amen, he saved us before he made us in that sense. Pastor, you're crazy. No, 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 no.
Oh,
go and you look into the essence of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Titus 1 and 2. Basically, all of these are telling us that you did exist. But according to Colossians 1:16, existence is in him. All existence is in him. So where are you right now? In Christ. In him. In him. That's where you are. And so in this sense, we must receive, hear the term sagacious. Everybody say sagacious. This is where we receive what?
The eternal perceptive of wisdom.
The eternal perceptive of wisdom. And perspective of what things are and where things are.
Glory. Amen.
In Christ now means something, right?
Right.
It's not just a cliche.
All right. Thank
God. Oh. Maybe just use that as a cliche. In Christ is where we abide.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the realness of us. What is in him. And outside of him it isn't.
That's it.
Oh my God. Now, this is why we come to our focus today, and that is the purpose of realizing divergent, different significations of eternality from temporality. That we see the difference of the two.
Right.
We see that one is real and one is the other one, amen, is a representation. Mm-hmm. The matrix of what we call life is merely a field of representations for the sake of communicating a testimony.
Yeah.
What you're going through every day, you say, what I'm going through every day, amen. For it to be real, it has to stick around. What is real is what is. It has to have some stickability, if I might use that terminology, and stability, if I may use that terminology, to be considered real. If it comes and it goes, was it ever really there? And that's what happens in the matrix. You have what we call life, amen. You have all of these representations of things that happen, and as the King James conveys, and it came to pass. After its purpose, it's gone. That includes our venue in the matrix. It does. It does. This is why some live 100 years, some live 100 minutes. Because God is timeless for the vessel. He accomplishes one, his purpose in 100 minutes in another vessel. Amen. It's stretched out. In time medium, 100 years. But to God is the same. It's about his purpose. It's not about time. Time was created, amen, to express and break down into sequential, incremental depictions. And when that has run its course, it's out. It could be 100 years, but it could also be 100 minutes. Oh, give God a praise. Oh, God, hallelujah. God, help us to view time from eternity. To view life from the perspective of in Christ. Let's go to the Greek interlinear now. Brother Deacon, I want you to read that 17th verse very slowly. Follow along, and those that don't have Greek interlinear, just your translation, just follow along.
Reading now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 from the Greek interlinear text.
Mm-hmm.
For the present lightness of the affliction.
Stop. Paul, you crazy. This thing is tearing me up. This thing is killing me. Maybe you aren't dealing with some of the things that I'm dealing with. Let's look at Paul's record. How many of us were shipwrecked, thrown off on an island, bitten by a deadly serpent, hated by everyone that we would wish would love us? Herod, all of his life, harassment was no foreign thing to Paul. And one time when they caught up with him, they beat him with 39 stripes. Then they went through, they stoned him and left him for dead. And what does Paul, what adjective does he use here? It's nothing. But it's nothing in comparison. He didn't say it was nothing. It's nothing in comparison to something. All right, read.
For the present lightness of the affliction,
mm-hmm.
excessively to excess.
Oh, stop. We have a Greek grammatical construction. Say, oh, Pastor, Lord, just follow. Amen. It is cut. Ephebaline is ephebaline. And here, this Greek word here is transliterated into English hyperbole. And he's making a comparison here. And he uses the highest echelon of expression of showing the difference between the extreme blessings between as versus what is perceived as the extreme curses. So the zenith expression here is that this thing is so far above how you think it's killing you until you need to come to this knowledge to know that it is working for you instead of against you. This is why that scripture this morning, amen, oh my God, and everything, do what? Give thanks. Give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's working for you. It's working for you. Not against you. All right, read. Amen. Hallelujah. That won't cost you nothing. That's, oh my God. Hallelujah. I'm watching that clock too. All right. Go ahead.
The lightness of the affliction, the present lightness of the affliction, excessively to excess, an eternal weight of glory works for us.
Is an eternal. Oh my God. You know, problem is we prioritize time. Yeah. What we're going through every day. This is what causes it. Why do I have to go through this? Why? Oh my goodness. This is getting on my last nerves. I can't take it anymore. What's next? Whatever God has to work for you is next. Lord, can you do this another way? Please, sir. God knows best. And so the thing, at one time, they were on Paul's case. He's right in Philippians. He said, "Now the things that have happened to me has advanced the gospel."
Mm-hmm.
And they're there to prove the essence of the message. Amen. Hallelujah. That we are not victims, we are victors. Oh my God. That he worketh all things together for good. Those that he has caused to love him. And who are called. The called are who are called ones according to what?
His purpose.
Everybody said again. His purpose. That's the problem. We have agendas. We have plans. We have ideas of where we want to go. And I'm not saying in life don't. Amen. But, oh my God, one portion of that prayer, amen, as Paul gives instructions in one place of prayer, it's alignment. We misquote that word. And many call it intervention. Are you intervening for someone else? The only time that word intervention is actually there is in Romans chapter 8, I think it is, where he speaks about the fact that the Holy Spirit intervenes for us. Now, does it mean we do not pray for one another when we pray properly? What's the proper prayer? Lord, your will is done. Don't you ever close any prayer. Don't you ever close any prayer. Lord, your will is done.
Yeah.
That's the aligning part. Because we want
to be on the same frequency as God in relationship to what he has already decreed and declared. And guess what? That's what it is. You get to that frame, whatever is there, God has placed it there for his purpose. We think life is about us. Romans chapter 14, it says, none of us have a reason of ourselves, that's 14 and 17, as a purpose for existing. I know many, they read that in some theologian pen and say, no man is an island, and they go out in the pulpit and preach that and so forth. But what that is saying is, none of us have a reason of ourselves, a purpose for living. Your purpose is God's purpose for you living. My purpose is about what God's purpose is for me. That's what a creature is. So here, he is saying an eternal weight of glory. Everybody say eternal weight.
Eternal weight
of glory. Now, that won't mean much to you, except what? You're prioritizing eternity over time. You understand the actuality and the realness, reality, is in everlasting abiding. Take that as corroborative the Lord's in the kingdom gospel. He said it would be better for you to be maimed in this life and then enter into the heavenlies as my chosen one than to carry the trademark of the board of health. I'm just using the vernacular here. And you were never man. The essence of where things are is where we need to focus. Now listen. We were born and then we grow up and then so we go to school and when we finish school, hopefully we do that. Amen. Then we get a job. Hopefully we do that first. Then get married. Then we have children. Then we look around a few years and what? Our children have children. You're like me. You're your grandpa. But then, as life moves on, your children become grandparents. Then what happens to you? One day this week I was talking to my grandson, Deshaun, and I spoke about the year 2060. What's this? 13? So that's 47 years from now. Am I correct there? Or 57? 47. Yeah, 47 years from now. And I think he said, well, I'll be, and he called it age at that time, which is approaching my age. He said, my God, I'll be in my 60s. And I said, where will I be? Of course, nobody want to answer that, but I will answer that. Where I am now. Where I have never ceased to be. In Christ. That's got to mean something to us. Our only hope is an eternal hope. Not what I'm doing now because, oh my God, hallelujah. As his purpose, amen, is accomplished in why he placed me in the matrix. Oh my God, oh my sin, I'm out of here. But absent from the body, so actually, the mirror looks forward, and the forward, amen, amen, in eternality where there is no sequence sin, amen, is no different from the, amen, from the real. In other words, the future and the past are one. Everybody say eternal now. That's where we are. And if we don't understand that, life doesn't make any sense, because what's the purpose of having going through all of this if it's just something you go through and now it's over? Then we've got to understand, we have to understand that we belong to the Lord. That's where we are. That's who and where we truly are, in Him. And our relationships on earth are temporary.
Yes, Lord.
Everything about you in time in the matrix is temporary.
Amen.
We belong to the Lord. We don't belong to one another.
Amen.
The reference has to be to the Lord.
Amen.
We don't belong to each other. And at some point, what's the characteristics of belonging? You got to pay it back. You got to give it up. It goes back.
Glory.
A loan is not a permanent possession. But we are still interconnected, because as members of the body of Christ,
right,
our focus is on the head. And oh my God, whatever love I have, amen, for my loved ones here as connected in the body of Christ, amen, there is no comparison. Oh my, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Yeah, I hear you. None.
They're not going to preach this.
They won't.
You know why? Because what I see, what I feel, what I touch, what I connect with is what it is. No, it is not.
Hallelujah.
Here's our purpose. I mean, we're running just a little over this morning, not too much. Amen. Let's go to our document on page 7. Purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Eternal perspective, everybody say eternal perspective, should be more influential in steering God's people through daily difficulties. The scriptures events that human contemplations are even dimly aware of the extensive encouragement instilled beyond time's courses in the eternal sphere doesn't come close to what we think and how we feel. And of course, how we feel, basically, mentally, is how we feel in touch, taste, and physical connected mode. And one of the exercises here as we get this internalized is that it is not what you see. It is what God has said. And this is why we have the aphorism around here. And repeat after me. It's not in what we see.
It's
in what God has said. So the light is focused where? On Him. So this thing is about getting into Him and getting what? Out of ourselves. Life is about Him. Life is not about me. And so the focus must be on Him, His purpose, His plan, His will. So what about me? You're a member of His body. The body benefits from the head.
Yes.
This is what this is about. Now, about the fourth line, the solitary most permanent, that which stands out of all factors, is the way spirituality is supposedly emphasized on the one hand. This is what we're saying we're doing. While human convention focuses remarkable, quote, pragmatic attention, the temper needs on the other. Now, this is not somebody going to always run and take this thing. In other words, we're not saying that whatever you are involved with, do that. But eternally, you can't depend upon that. That has a course, and when it runs its course, it's gone. Go to school, those of us that young people, some old folk too, get this knowledge, comprehension, and understanding. But as I've said to my children and grandchildren, the sinner is always Christ. God is the nucleus. God is the focal point of everything that you do. And if it's not tied to Christ, it's nothing. When the light goes out, a manifestation, what do you have left when the light goes out? Darkness. What is darkness? Nothing. So, well, what is nothing? Anything that is separated outside of Christ is nothing. You take Christ out of it, it's nothing. Oh, my God. Maybe we finish this one paragraph in a way. In fact, an axiom or principle of this idea is that any religion, and this is what we are getting, mm-hmm, in our ministries. Mm-hmm. Any religion, this is what they say, that can't save people temporarily has no valid claim to do so spiritually. That is one of the dumbest statements I've ever heard. And it's unscriptural. If it's temporal, what can you say? If it's temporal, what is there about it to say? What do you have? They're going to call us crazy. But if that thing is destined to dissipate, how can you save it? Can you prolong anything beyond the extension of what God has caused it to be? That's including your life, and that's including your problems, and that's including everything concerning you. Those depictions there, they are limited. They are numbered. They are coursed. They are sequence and increments, but they are coursed. And there's an end to every last one of them. There's an end to everything that's in the matrix. There's an ending to it. In time, time has an end. Even time itself ends. And everything that's in time, or that you construe to be in time, ends in the ending of time. So what is there to save? Well, aren't we saved in time? No. Where were you saved?
In eternity.
Before time. Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1 and 4. Second Timothy 1 and 9. Come after us. Titus 1 and 2. Come on after us. But come through these scriptures if you want to get to us. All right. What is a veritable claim in these camps is that a ministry shouldn't be just engaged in preparing its people for the next world, but it should be one which instills in its members in tangible ways, whatever that means, the need for provident living in the present. In eternal viewing, the future is the present. If you got the venue straight. If you're in the real time and physicality, and you're calling that the future, my friend, you must understand that soon your future becomes the past. The only hope we have is an eternal hope. In Christ. This perception is defined as the need. And this is what messes us up. Self-reliance. Education and career developments. And I've just said, hey, go do all of that. But don't depend upon that.
Amen.
For your sustenance. Because that will be used up in the using.
Yes,
and of course, we have charitable services for the needy when they don't have the means to provide for themselves. And amen, my hats are off to certain of ministries. And there is a need and there is a place and purpose for that. And we have participated in charitable exercises here at the Grace Gospel Church. But that can't become our mantra. When you do that, you are majoring in minors. And when you focus and you put that first, you know what you're putting second? You're putting eternal perception and perspective of things on the back burner. And you're saying, this is where we will spend all of our time. Like this morning, we have utilized almost an hour. And we have not talked about the impending clash of politicians in Washington that may shut down the government again. We haven't talked about those who would seek, in order to balance the budget, to pull back on some of the supposed benefits that we enjoy, entitlement programs. We have not talked about how to balance the budget of the city that supposedly is broke, the city of Detroit. And bankruptcy filing by cutting back on the benefits of people's pensions and laying off people and doing whatever else, as long as we get the budget balanced. But don't break my plate though. Don't cut me. But we're not into any of that. As far as the message that comes from this pulpit. Why are we concerned? Absolutely, as good citizens, we're concerned. Paul was a Roman citizen and he participated. He participated, but he didn't prioritize. We can participate as long as we don't prioritize that. Why don't we prioritize it? Because these are merely sequential. What? Testimonial depictions in time that are placed there by God for purpose. They're there because He placed it there. The budget is imbalanced because God has purpose for the budget being imbalanced. And He's the only one that can cause it to be imbalanced or even straighten it out. But our trust is in Him. Our future is in Him. Our focus is on Him. And as we do that, we are assured in the heavenlies in Christ, there are no such thing as budgets. Everything is unlimited. Oh, give Him a praise. And so we can sing like the old people sing concerning the essence of eternity. I hope it's in the essence of Him and all things that are in Him. Let's continue to trust Him, to look to Him, to see that life is beyond everything that is around you. And then we can truly sing the song, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less But Jesus Christ and His Righteousness." Yeah. And in gaining this knowledge, we can say, "Bill." Can you repeat, "Bill"? Bill. Your hope. Bill. Your hope. Bill. Your hope. Say it again and again and again. Oh, don't you just love Him this morning? Give Him a praise.